Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never. If you want to actually become a part of the solution, you have an opportunity to do so. Hopefully, as you start recognizing that everything that's going on around you is not going to change until you begin holding government and the public servants accountable. Now, the primary process, which is why I probably have my closest ties to any organization, is We the People Foundation and the petition for the redress of grievances. It is the direct weapon that we use in going after these folks. The second, there is no organization out there that actually is calling or forming Section 3s of the 14th Amendment. Bottom line, the mechanism of doing that is the petition. We have to start holding public servants accountable, and when they fail to be held accountable, then we point out that they are violating Section 3 and demand that the people stop electing people that are not doing what they are legally bound to do. But what we want to help you, I'll just say, see, what we want you to start getting engaged in is really getting engaged in organizing your county, because as Bob and I both agree, that if we're going to overcome all of this, we actually have to unify and we have to get enough people involved in this movement. Technically, your unorganized militia should be occupied by every adult citizen of the age 17 and older, period. There should be a mandate that requires everybody participate. Now, those who actively participate, so, you know, everybody wants to know what's in it for me. I believe that those people who are actually engaged should receive some level of compensation. And because what we're doing is we're actually, by compensating people, and when I say compensating, you know, traveling, but not necessarily maybe time. You may be a stipend, like minimum wage, so many hours. I mean, if you look at jury duty, right? What is the compensation for jury duty? It's an insult, because it's not even like they're paying you by, you know, any modern day compensation level. So what they probably should do is they probably should look at, regarding jury duty, they should probably be looking at what is the lowest paying job government has. And when you garner what that income is, in other words, this is the, if you want to call it janitor, this is the lowest menial task that we employ people, and this is what we pay them at. That should be the minimum compensation for a person's time in being involved in the militia. Because being involved in the militia is more of a civic duty than it is a way to actually become rich. And your compensation for, and you can go down the path of, if you have to travel a lot and do lots of things, it may be equally important to make sure that you're being compensated for all the driving you have to do, which means you get paid by the mile. You don't get paid by the gallon of gas. You get paid by the mile you put on your car. And in some cases, if you start looking at how government, because government is really good at being very chintzy and being very literal of what compensation should be. So there's no reason why we can't look at what the minimum compensation is. And that's only for members that are actively serving in the militia. So it doesn't become this huge burden, but what it does become is it becomes a guarantee that your public servants are being held accountable and that they are fully aligned. When you actually get a constitutional county, when you actually have your sheriff having a militia and you have a formal militia and all of these other things. In other words, those who are a part of the deputy system within the militia. And as a matter of fact, we need to make it so that people don't become permanent law enforcement or permanent militia members. that they get so many years, maybe 4, 8 years or something like that, and then we have a rotation of bringing younger kids in. I'm just trying to prove to a point that what we don't want to do is we don't want to create careers where people actually become dependent on government salaries, government pensions, and so forth. Because if you look at some of the costs of government, there you go right there. We don't want to actually create, but we do want to reward, and we want to be able to compensate and fairly give people these opportunities. Bottom line, I think that we, you know, when we talk about term limits in the voluntary service, I don't think we should have term limits in the public service. Voluntary service, we probably should have term limits, just because we don't want to start making careers where next thing you know, if you're part of the, you know, active unorganized militia because you've been doing it, then, but see, I also have a problem. So as obviously I'm coming in with a lot of these mixed ideas, mixed feelings, and it's not necessarily perfect because there's no such thing as a one size fits all. If you get a James Madison in your county, and he becomes this, you know, this wealth of resources, knowledge, and everything else, you may want to make an exception. But you have to actually, if you're going to go down that path, you actually have to den or contain that exception so that it is very well defined so that you can apply it and fairly apply it so that not everybody can fall into that same exception. When Marbury V. Madison made the assertion that a person has a right to a job, when a person has this property in their position as a government worker, which is basically this whole, this is how this whole thing started from Marbury v. Madison, that these people have these government rights. I'm here to tell you that what we are witnessing and what we have seen in this abuse of this, I'll call it a ruling by Marshall in Marbury v. Madison, it's just become this property right. You can't fire me. I can be as bad as I want to be, and you can't fire me because I have property rights in this job. Are you kidding me? See, what happened was there was this pretty decent idea, possibly, but that's what always happens. It actually becomes a weapon, or these people start using it, and those who are serving in government are very quick to use their job and their property rights to it as a weapon. We can't allow that to happen. The people of America cannot allow these things to continue. So we have to actually put it onto paper, and we actually have to, you know, if we can't perfect the process, if we can't do that, then we have to plow forward till we do. We got to make improvements and make adjustments. And I totally believe that the solutions really don't elude us. The problem is that we're not adult enough to actually say there's a problem and let's work on the problem and let's address the real problem. Because I believe when reasonable people, equally informed, actually look at the problem, they will all agree on what that real solution should be. So, like I said, this is why there's really no hard cast mold as to what your county can be doing and should be doing. What we want to do is just make sure that you understand that the only way you're going to become a constitutional county and you're going to move your state into a constitutional state is by actually getting your county to start recognizing, the people of your county to recognize their responsibility in our self-government system. And so I look forward to having these conversations of how you go down this path. One of the things I put it out there, if you are actually an active volunteer in this unorganized militia, you should not be eligible for jury duty. You should not be eligible for some of these other duties. But some of these other duties should be, and as a matter of fact, this is where we really need to get into, because I'll just use this one example, and you're going to love this, because we all talk about the press and how the press is abusive. They are controlling narratives. They're propaganda mills, and they're actually hostile to our liberal government, the classical liberal government that we're supposed to have. So how do you reel them in? instead of having a jury duty, you can have a press duty where you actually get people at the county levels to actually convene and look at the different mediums from the county and the state to actually look at what they're putting in their paper, what they are putting on their TV cycle, so that everything is chronicalized. Make these companies actually provide the archives and the chronicles and transcripts, what have you. With technology today, there's no reason why this can't be that, you know, difficult to do. And then what you do is you have a jury duty, or I should say a press duty, where you have a few people come in on a, you know, for a week out of the month and look at all of the articles and determine, were all the views considered by this newspaper? I'll give you a case in point. There was a gun shooting and some kids got, you know, shot at and killed. Were the views strictly about gun control that were being printed and spoken of in the media? If it was, and they weren't providing the alternative views of the importance of self-arming, self-defense, those types of things, then what we're looking at is we're looking at a propaganda mill. We're looking at a, not an objective journalist organization or platform. We want to call these things platforms. We want to actually start labeling the platforms as either propaganda or truly objective journalists, where they're not putting their biases in there. Now, it's okay for somebody to report and use their biases, but it's important to have, you know, a, both sides or all the sides of the story. Remember, there's three sides to every story at a minimum. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so three sides to every story, right? There's his, hers, and then there's the facts. And so what people really want are the facts, but you, when you get two people involved, there's usually some level of manipulation or bias that is filtered by each individual. Yours truly does it. You do it. We all do it. We all have to start agreeing with the fact that we all have biases. I am here to tell you that biases are okay, but we have to make sure that we're not just swimming in the biases of one paradigm. This is what's happened to our education system. They've been allowed to control the paradigm. You know, this all happened from a free pool. Eventually, over time, people started moving to one section of the pool of, you know, because the whole pool is all of the ideas. Then somebody said, well, these ideas right here are the best ideas. And they started getting everybody over into that one corner, and the rest of the pool was completely abandoned because this is where all the best ideas were, or the best part of the pool. It's the same thing. This is how we always gravitate instead of actually objectively looking at every part of the pool, every part of the different biases. Bottom line, what we need from journalist organizations and what we need from actual reporters are the facts. And so as people start looking, especially when they start looking at the different views, now we can actually start differentiating. And I'll use the term separating the wheat from the chaff. What is the good or the proper or the truth? And what is the deceptions? What are the lies or what are the biases that can be proven destructive? Our media system has proven itself as a destructive medium. The media needs to be reeled in. This is why I submit to you that we need to have a jury duty very similar to, you know, listening to cases and listen to what the media, each media platform, is telling you so that we can actually shed them and hold them accountable, because there's nothing greater in a free society than I'll call it the press in giving you the facts. But when you blindly believe everything that they tell you as fact, then they have full control. And this is why we have to have this level of civil vigilance and citizen vigilance in holding these types of services accountable. This is why when you start looking at the unorganized militia will actually have a committee that will actually be viewing and judging. This is where your jury duty would come in. This is where you would actually have people going after these organizations. Because bottom line, if you want to have a press, if you want to have a platform in your county or in your state, and you want to use it as a propaganda mill, then you're not going to get the benefits of the no taxes or what have you. I believe that when a true platform is providing a service and they're allowing all of the facts, then they should actually have the support of government, or I should we the people. But we have to monitor them, right? There was this old saying in the intelligence community, you know, peace through strength, but monitoring and verification. I mean, so, and I really did a really bad job in paraphrasing that, but just because GR's memory is not the best. But I do know this, that when we look at the information that we have, we always have to verify that we're getting good information. This way we can actually go back and what kind of value would this have in your community if all of a sudden there was this civil organization that everybody's a member of, and all of a sudden they're the ones that are actually telling you, well, they're giving you a bad angle here. They're actually, you know, trying to get you to think a certain way, and that this is the only way to see gun violence. Well, I think the citizens of that county would go, wow, that's interesting. Wow, you know, and they will start actually being able to, I will say, properly react. When reasonable people equal informed, I believe most every American is a reasonable person. Most everyone. I think maybe we got 20% of America. So 80%, that's a high amount. I think easily 80% of the people are reasonable when they're equally informed. And so we will all start agreeing on what we need to do when we actually start looking at things from the facts, instead of looking at things constantly through the biases that are being thrown at us. So anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you were listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Still don't know when Bob's seminar is going to be. Hopefully it's coming up soon. Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching, check him out. He is the guy that can help you with your disciplining yourself on your spending and your financial plans. ConstitutionEducation.us by Keith Borders. If you're looking for some content, go check it out, and then you can start sharing that. Eventually, we will be having our own constitutional classes, and we will be working with Keith and sharing those with him as well. Timber Nation. As a matter of fact, we plan on working symbiotically and using synergy with Keith and many organizations in helping people completely understand the Constitution the way we need to understand, in using it as our defense of our liberties as well as our weapons against tyranny and despotism. Timbernation.com if you're looking for that good quality hardwood furnishings. I kind of like oak. I really love walnut. Hickory's another beautiful hardwood. Check them out. Get your entertainment system. If you're looking for simple, clean, but, you know, eloquent and as well as sturdy, long-lasting, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I hate to do that. I hate to use blah, blah, blah. Go check out TimberNation.com. RadioDustCovers.com with Stan Kluwit. He will do it. And actually, he does all the stitching and everything else himself. So check it out. He'll actually put the logos on the front if you want that. And as a matter of fact, we will probably be presenting, you know, one of our little, because we're going to be giving Timber Nation, because we actually use Stan Kluwit's covers on some of our electronics. And so we'll actually take some pictures, we'll throw those up, and so you'll be able to see what the covered audio equipment looks like with these dust covers. Fact of the matter is that it's all about making your hard work. I mean, anybody that values what it took to earn that money wants to make sure that the what they spend it on is equally valued. I mean, why just, you know, treat your car like crap, not, you know, not keep maintenance on it or everything else? We're not a disposable society. That is it is destructive to believe and have a disposable attitude that everything is disposable. We have to start appreciating what we're earning, what we're getting, and so forth. It is the opulent, and it is an evil paradigm of becoming a person that everything is disposable. That, because what that basically means is even people become disposable when you have a disposable society. Add local ISP support, your hosting, certifying on your sites, whatever you need to talk to Add Local. As a matter of fact, they'll talk to you about what the things you and why you want to consider these types of services. They're all good. They're all critical. But sometimes you start with just, you know, the bare bones, and then you start adding some of the features. And next thing you know, you're driving, you know, a limo, a high-end, you know, website, web design services and everything. Our comment line, 425-270-5416. And let me take off where we left off, because what we were talking about was using common sense, logic, and reason. And looking at what's going on, because I started talking about the trucker convoys. It's kind of nice to see resistance, and it's kind of nice to see people unify on something to say, we're not going to take this, and going and shutting down. But I am here to tell you that when you block the entrance of a Planned Parenthood operation, you're not shutting down abortions. You're making a stand. You're actually proving a principle. You're proving a point. Those things kind of have importance, but you're not going to solve the problem that way. So we have to be very, very realistic in understanding what it takes to solve the problems. And we actually have to get elbows deep into the problem in solving it. When you are actually fighting the symptom, so what are the truckers trying to do? They're basically trying to say, we demand exemptions. We demand you end these mandates on us. Okay, well, they're fighting what? Downstream paradigm. They're fighting the outcome of something the government had no business. They have no authority upstream to be able to do these things. So how do you fix this? Well, we have to start forcing our public servants and our governments into holding accountability. You want to join the truckers? You start petitioning your county commissioners in saying you will not mandate and you will not enforce these things upon anybody, not just truckers, nobody. It should be by choice. It should be by design. Now, you're talking to a guy that has benefited probably a lot because I have not been exposed to a virus. And I, with a lung disease, if I get a virus, I get pneumonia, it could kill me. I am more susceptible. So that's why, you need to take these virus, you know, you need to take these vaccines. No, I'm not going to let you edit. I do the technology that is being used, I don't care if you're going to say it's safe or not. I will not let that crap in my body. I would rather die. But I need to be very, I have to start applying due diligence because even a virus can kill me. And so I completely respect, you know, a person's want or desires to wear a mask. You shouldn't make fun of a person that chooses to do that, especially if you don't know why they're wearing a mask. And if they got an oxygen tube, there's probably even a better reason. But anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so getting back to common sense, logic, and reason, and actually applying common sense, logic, and reason to what we're doing, I am not trying to tell anybody not to get involved in an organization. I am telling you that if you're getting involved in an organization that actually has a very specific focus and their focus is not unifying and uniting on these principles of citizenry, self-governance, and holding our public servants accountable to the Constitution and teaching you the Constitution, those types of things, then they're probably not an organization that would be a part of Reclaiming the Republic. If they are strictly... like Hillsdale College is strictly an educational, they're not here, they're not trying to reclaim the Republic, but they love the fact that you're willing to spend money on them and some of these other organizations of charging membership or what have you. Getting you to buy into their myopic view where they're not willing to actually work with others, they're not willing to actually put aside their organizational interests, their self-interest as an organization in helping you actually reclaim the Republic and actually make your county constitutional. Because I just actually engaged just yesterday in a Facebook post. There was a health freedom myopic person that was poking her finger at a person that was a Second Amendment person that was out there saying, hey, here was the Second Amendment group, the Gun Owners Association, that actually put it out that, hey, this very specific bill was, you know, designed to support, you know, the police officers and their rights of being able to do things and so forth. And this health freedom person was calling them a hypocrite. And actually, so I posted, I came back and said, look, I believe that every, you know, all of these different organizations may be noble intent, but they're all divisive. And I actually pointed to Health Freedom as a divisive organization as well, because it's not like they're joining. When you change your mantra from health freedom to enforcing the Constitution, you solve your problem of health freedom, but you also solve everybody's problems. The Second Amendment problems, you see abortion problems, all of these things that fall under this realm of unconstitutional government. The government should not be doing all of these things, from education, from energy, from labor, from housing, environment. All of these things get solved when we all take the stand on demanding full compliance to the Constitution. Wow, what this amazing concept that is, right? Okay, so as we start demanding full compliance and we start getting it, why is that a bad thing? So bottom line, this person comes back to try to poke me in the eye and say, well, because I gave the example of the Department of Transportation. I said, look, if they don't have the authority, constitutionally, if they don't have the authority to have a Department of Transportation, then this proves that they don't have the authority to have health care, you know, the government-mandated and regulated health care, labor, all of these different things. So this person comes back and says, well, if you want to create a group that's, you know, goes after the Department of Transportation, by all means, go at it. But clearly in my post, I said, I'm not here to try to create a group. I'm trying to unify all groups with their myopic views into unifying on enforcing the Constitution. But what she read and what she posted basically means that she didn't read what I said. She says, well, you know, if you want to have a anti-Department of Transportation group, then, you know, go out and create your group. And so I was able to poke her back and say, look, now you're being hypocritical, because I've basically given you the academic evidence that all of these things are unconstitutional. I'm not trying to create a group for that. You should have read the post. And then lastly, the adage is ringing loudly that united we stand, divided we fall, and all of these divisive groups are a part of the problem. That's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. When you go out and join these different groups, if they're not focused on solving the problem, then they are a part of the problem. So when you look at committees of safety, when you look at these pods, I think the American Policy Center wants to create pods, that all of these groups, the Convention of States, they want to create these little myopic groups. This is what we got to do. The Convention of States does not solve the problem. Same thing with these pods. These do not solve the problem. They are addressing the symptoms from the problem. Okay, so let's say your water downstream is getting polluted. Well, you got to skim off. You got to start filtering your water. Yeah, because you need to drink. This goes down to those Franklin Covey, you know, urgent, necessary, you know, you got to fight off the alligators to stay alive, but you have to drain the swamp. I mean, both of them are very important. But when it comes down to it, when the alligators are coming to kill you, you have to fight them off. Okay, so when you need to drink water, you got to purify your water. If your kids need education, you need to give them good education. But that doesn't mean you solve the problem. You're only addressing the problem by, you know, dealing with the symptom of the problem. But you're not solving it. Solving the problem is done upstream, where the source of the problems are really occurring. That's what we're hoping to convey and hoping to drive, getting people this shift in their paradigm, so that they understand that they have an opportunity to actually start focusing on solving problems instead of actually helping, you know, keep these problems alive. Boy, it is nothing worse than when you come really close to finally killing something, And then somebody comes along and revitalizes it, you know, like this beast or something. And oh, it's been ravaging this community, and this do-good person, oh, well, let me heal this beast. And they bring it back to health. The next thing you know, they're ravaging you again. I mean, what sense does that make? So when we start looking at all of these different types of organizations, I am here to tell you that the only organization that you can create is not your organization. It is your county's organization. Everybody that you live with in your community, and I'm going to break your community down by the county. Your county is a very large community, but nonetheless, it is a community that is there to serve you. Remember, we, the governed, have created an endowed government to serve us, and we're not holding them accountable. Your obligation as an unorganized militia is to hold government and public servants accountable. When you get on that path and you create that, then this is why I started going down this path of talking about making these things an actual vestige of government. How cool would it be if all of a sudden our paradigm shifted instead of just, you know, because many employers will, you know, pay you for going into jury duty. I honestly believe the employers will also recognize the value of having a citizen vigilance organization that is a part of the government, holding government fully accountable. It is a benefit for any company that wants to have a free and competitive environment where they can compete in market space for your business, so forth and so on. So when you start really recognizing that if you're going to solve problems and you have an upstream paradigm, it's not about you. When all of these guys that created these little ideas that they want to basically have you do non-disclosure agreements and what have you and so forth and so on. I mean, it's one thing to have a non-disclosure agreement to protect somebody's identity. I get that. Or to do something to, you know, help somebody be safe or something like that. Or to protect intellectual property. I understand that. But when it comes to what is best for us, and somebody is actually giving you an intellectual property contract that says, here's an idea that we don't want you to use with anybody else. You know, you basically, you can't reuse this or we'll come after you. Well, then who are they really serving? Especially if we're talking about the necessity of taking control of our government. I have a problem with self-serving organizations, which is one of the reasons why I've never really looked at trying to monetize this show and why I've only really looked at doing what I've been doing for years and years. But I have come to the conclusion that if the problem is going to actually be addressed, more people have to talk about it. And so we actually have to broaden the reach of this show, and we actually have to get it into the airwaves of your local community. So that monetizing this, if I make it about you, where the money is going to flow to you, then it actually becomes almost like I don't want to call it a closed system or a self-licking ice cream cone. And it's almost kind of like a network marketing scheme, if you want to call it that, but it's really not. Because bottom line, the intent is to really not ingratiate or make me rich at all. I don't want to be there. I understand that when I get rich or when money comes in, it becomes very, very hard to actually walk through the eye of the needle. Remember, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And so I do not want to get to that point where I actually become self-serving. And so, but what we have to do is we actually have to come up with these ways of helping start. And I don't want to go into it because it'll take me more than the few seconds I have before the break begins. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of the details of what Reclaiming the Republic and how it can serve your community by serving your unorganized militia until you get to a point where you're actually covering it yourself. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Yeah, so there's an economic term called opportunity costs. And during the break, your mind starts wandering. You kind of easily can find yourself forgetting what you want to talk about. But we only have so much time, folks. That's why I keep on saying it's now or never. You know, it's not like things are going to end tomorrow, but we don't know when the next catastrophe is. It's going to happen quickly. They're going to push us into a cashless society. We already know many of the things that they're going to implement because it's all about control, and these are the things they absolutely have to do so they take full control. They need to be able to monitor you. They need to be able to actually understand where you are and shut you down if you pose a threat, because they, if you're not on board with their plan of control and controlling you, then you pose a threat. We have to start understanding what is at stake here. And I am telling you, if you understand the economic term opportunity costs, you cannot afford to waste time with organizations that will not actually solve the problem. You need to actually, when somebody talks to you and says, how does that get rid of all of these things? How does this convoy get rid of all of this stuff? How does homeschooling get rid of everything? Even it doesn't even get rid of education itself. It just solves the downstream problem that your children are being polluted. Okay, so what are we going to do about it? Well, you actually already have the opportunity. You have it right there within the law underneath this Constitution. You have a right to an unorganized militia. And every citizen in your county needs to get on board with this, because you all have to accept. I don't care how busy you are. If you're so busy that you would actually allow everything to be stolen from you, then you are not understanding what the real problem is and what the urgency needs to be. In other words, you know, you're not fighting off the alligator. And what you're thinking is, I'm going to drain the swamp because this is my plan. I'm going to make this land all productive. I'm going to make this business really successful. But your business cannot succeed if government can control every aspect of it. You have to have
free market principles. You have to have liberty for individuals and individual sovereignty. The only way that we have those things is through citizen vigilance. Now, if you're that affluent and what's on the line is so costly to you, then it is in your best interest to actually help financially those who actually have the time to actually do some of this work. You need to start getting behind those people who are unifying at a citizen vigilance level of holding government fully accountable to the Constitution, as well as the public servants fully accountable. So, as we look at all of these things, start thinking from the upstream paradigm. And when you start looking at something, recognize the fact that you're looking at it from the downstream paradigm first. In other words, everything that you're seeing on the news, everything that you're seeing in the cycle of pornography is a downstream view. There's always things upstream, like what's going on in Canada. Well, what's upstream of Canada? This is all a part of the globalist agenda. Just because it's happening in Canada and everywhere else in the world, it's not a coincidence that these things are happening like this. That is the design and the destination that we're all heading. Now, it's nice to see these convoys. It gives people this little battle of fighting this finger, staving off and filtering the water so that you have clean water to drink. But folks, come on. That does not solve the problem. And if that's what you think is going to be your solace and your security of the future, nothing will actually be solved. The only way you can actually sleep the sleep of the just, the only way you can actually look at yourself in the mirror is by getting involved and getting everybody involved. It does not require 8 hours a day. It only requires a little bit of time each day to invest in taking back, reclaiming the republic, or as I call it, taking back your government and your public servants and holding them accountable. It only takes a little bit of time. Sadly, I hear way too often, I'm just too busy to do it. I just don't have the time to do it. You know what? We've gotten to a point where people are so self-absorbed, and some of this has a lot to do with the misandry view in our society. I mean, there's many a good men that are absolutely, they've tied their hands because, well, their wife doesn't understand the importance of all of this, and they got to make their wife, what you have to do is you have to start getting your wife to understand the importance of this. And if she loves you, she will understand. As a matter of fact, if she loves you and starts to understand, she will work with you. I know that there's lots of people that live in, I'll just call it, mixed marriages, where politically, there's, and sometimes it's the wife and it's the husband that is the indifferent one. It doesn't matter what side it is. We actually have to start expressing the importance of every one of us spending time in doing this and getting involved. Believe me, I lived in a mixed marriage, but it wasn't that bad. As a matter of fact, if you read the first thing I said in the tributes and dedications at the front of the book, the one thing I mentioned in the book is I was really blessed to be in a mixed marriage, but more importantly, there was one thing that we did share. We both are patriots, and we both love this country, and that we love liberty. And so we don't necessarily have those things that we disagree on. It's just that we have to figure out how to associate those fundamental principles to all these other things. And over time, we've been able to come closer and closer together. It's kind of like the perfect marriage is where you, because if you look at an individual is like a source of light. It's like a laser beam, right? You're heading in one very specific direction. You can bend, but whatever point you bend, now the laser beam is pointing in that direction. But the reason I'm bringing this up is just I'm trying to create the vision or the metaphorical, imagery so that you can understand what a successful marriage, in my view, really is. is when you take these two laser beams that are two independent sources and you join them to another, then you will not only have the amplification of two beams, you will have the synergy of those two beams, and those two beams will even be greater than their sum. A good example of that is where you actually see individuals, and I love using the Beatles as an example, because when you look at the Beatles individually and you take their success individually, their success still individually never came to the sum of their parts as what they did as the Beatles. In other words, the reach, their impact, and their magnitude that the synergy that these four created was far greater than what all of them did individually in a much longer period of time. And that proves to the point of how synergy can actually make something greater than the sum of its parts mathematically. You know, one would think that when a husband and wife are joined, as these two laser beams are joined, that it would just be two times the amount of light. But the synergy that comes from that magnifies that to making it much greater than the sum of the parts. It could be four times brighter. It could be 10 times brighter. It could be unimaginably brighter if you actually start developing that synergy at a county level, at, you know, that civic level. And I was just trying to try to apply this because I understand the conflicts that every single one of you have. We're all busy. We've all got to put bread on the table. Cost of everything's going up. If you keep on fighting the problem at the downstream side and just fighting the symptom of the problem, we'll never solve this problem. And the problem is government is out of control, and the best way to take back government is starting at the local level. You've got to clean up your yard first before you can start cleaning up your neighborhood, before you can clean up your community, so forth and so on. And the first step that you have to take is you have to stand up and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to demand everybody comply to the Constitution. I'm going to start telling people, don't give me the words conservative, Republican, or anything like that. I want to hear Constitution coming out of your mouth. It's either within the Constitution or it's not. And that's how we need to frame things. So moving forward, now what we want to do is I want to actually introduce you to this concept of constitutional and legal jurisdictional limitation on the general government, because most people do not understand that we have this thing in the Constitution, or these different doctrines. I'll call them doctrines. One of them is the equal footing doctrine. They actually call it a doctrine. But there's the uniformity clause. There's states' rights. There's an enumerated Constitution. All of these different things actually have a symbiotic relationship, and we're going to get into that. And we're going to actually, so I don't have time. I don't even have a minute left to tell you more about this. So when we come back in our next episode, this is what we're going to dive into. This is what we're going to read. And it's only, six pages. And this is what we're publishing. This is what's going to be up on the website on the Constitutional Perspectives page. See, the Constitutional Perspective page is the fresh stuff, the brand new stuff. And then once I've had it up there for a few weeks, we will actually move it over to the Constitutional Articles page. So I'm getting this put up first, and then we're going to, you know, migrate it over when we get the actual argument for the Constitutional Compliance Bill. As we provide you these pieces of information, there's no doubt in my mind you'll be able to do the beer math and make these things work in your community. I'm J.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.